If you've experienced the cycle of toxic relationships and you're sick and tired of feeling stuck, sad, and lonely, now is the time to heal and create your best life. In this podcast, you'll hear world-class toxic relationship recovery expert Stephanie McPhail sharing the support, guidance, and tools you need so you can be truly happy whether you're single or in a relationship. She is the real deal. I should know, she's my wife. Here's your host, Stephanie.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Toxic Love Transformation. I'm your host, Stephanie McPhail. And today I have the pleasure of introducing Jamie Kay, who's a women's relationship coach. Welcome, Jamie.
Thank you. Welcome. I'm so glad to be here.
Thank you. So you're a women's relationship coach. So I'm going to just go ahead and decide that there's probably a reason why you chose relationships. My guess is it didn't always start out easy for you.
Well, you guessed right. Absolutely. Honestly, you know, I was in a 28-year marriage and I thought everything was hunky-dory. Everything was roses as long, you know, as I did everything I was supposed to do. So, and I'm, you know, I try to be really careful because we're all in this journey of learning how to do relationships. But honestly, a lot of this stemmed from my personal childhood stuff. Like I grew up in a dysfunctional family. I'd had zero good examples of what a healthy relationship looked like. And there was a lot of childhood trauma and a lot of childhood wounds that honestly, that is why I do what I do. Because the wounds from our childhood, our trauma, etc., just perpetuates, gets us into toxic relationships in our future. And we're not able to enjoy life the way I believe that we're supposed to. So that's what got me into this. It wasn't until I went to college, getting my master or finishing my bachelor's degree when my youngest one was in high school, her junior, senior year, I decided to go back to school and finish my degree. I got the psychology degree with a cognate in life coaching, and I took a test. And in that test, it was something I would give to my clients. And as I was taking this test, it was in a marriage and relationship course. I was like, oh my gosh, this is me. I'm in a toxic, unhealthy relationship. I was just blown away because I thought it was fine as long as I did everything I was told. So that's what really started all of this. In addition to, I was diagnosed with a couple of autoimmune diseases, which kind of took me down a rabbit hole of understanding that a lot of autoimmune disease come from childhood trauma. So here I am today, wanting so badly to help women break free from the toxic, honestly, cycles that we put ourselves in when we don't heal our traumas.
100%. And also autoimmune is related to just stress in general. So because stress causes inflammation and inflammation causes disease and illness. And so I'm glad you were able to figure it out. I'm sure that's not what you were expecting when you went back to school. Interesting, though, that you chose psychology. So there must have been something down there that you were realizing something wasn't right, but you couldn't quite put your finger on it.
Do you know, I used to say that to myself, like something's off, but I don't know what it is. I even wrote a blog about that. Like something's off. You might not call it quote abuse because you're not being physically abused, but something is off. But interestingly about the psychology part is I'm just human behavior fascinates me. I mean, it's very interesting. I'm a student at heart. I homeschooled my children. And so for me, like learning is just you just never stop. You shouldn't, honestly. If you do, you're going backwards, in my personal opinion. So I remember my kids once we would go on vacations and they're like, Mom, could you please not make this an educational experience? And I'm like, no, we're going to go to the zoo and we're going to learn all that. So it's just, yes, it is. Everything is educational. But yeah, that is psychology or the human behavior and understanding humanity and why we do what we do. All that stuff is just super interesting to me. And the more I get into it, especially reading about trauma, reading about, you know, The Body Keeps the Score from Dr. Bessel van der Kolk, all that stuff is just like, oh, it's just like, I know most people are like, I like to read romantic novels. I like to read trauma therapy.
Well, because it helps, you know, it helps people and it helps you process things also. So that's, you know, I understand. I love when you become a student of life and you know, not that I don't love to also read other types of books, but I really love to learn more so that I can help more clients and in turn make the world a better place, which is really my long-term hope for all of this anyway.
That's the power in learning. is it becomes healing. Mm-hmm. So, and that's why I love what I do. And then, you know, there is power in that learning, the cognitive part. But where my specialty is I dig down into the body, the somatic practice, where dance and healing stretches, similar to yoga, but not healing stretches, dance, walking, bilateral stimulation, music, frequency, all of those things, inner child work, journaling, the act of moving your hand while your thoughts are processing, all of that stuff is what moves trauma. All of that stuff is what heals your body. So the learning part of it is just the awareness and becoming, that's your first step. Once you become aware, unfortunately, then you do have to make a decision about what you're going to do. Like, you got to either stay in that relationship or remove yourself from that relationship, or, you know, I support my clients, whatever they choose to do. I don't always say you have to leave the relationship to, you know, heal. You don't. I mean, your healing is going to be limited if you stay in the relationship where it's toxic, but some people just aren't there, and some people can't financially leave the relationship. So I support them wherever they are, but there are practices you can learn. Meditation is, you know, my jam. That's where I really love to help people break free, because meditation is powerful. So yeah, that's my specialty, the somatic practice part.
You know, I think that's something you brought up, something that's really important, is that, you know, there's one thing, and this is what I keep trying to make sure everyone really understands. It's one thing to know about it. It's one thing to research and get educated. I mean, most of us, if not all of us, started there. Like, what's going on? Is this really unhealthy? Is there something wrong with me? Like, we dive into that. And then some of us stay in research mode. Research mode is not where healing happens. We have to get into action taking mode so that we get the right support. I mean, I bet that you didn't do all that all by yourself. You know, you didn't read a book and you're like, okay, I know all the answers now. What were some of the things that you did to really start to get all this information to be able to help you and then in turn help other people?
Yeah. Well, it did take me a long time. I did stay stuck in that learning mode until it was, honestly, it was depressing me even more. I felt that the more I learned about narcissistic behavior, unhealthy patterns, dysfunction, you know, even attachment style stuff, even learning about ACEs and just the childhood adverse, you know, experiences that I endured, the more I learned about it, the more depressed I got, because I felt like, my gosh, there's no hope for me. I was really screwed up. So what am I going to do? And then it was almost like, it was like a light bulb, I guess, for me, because it was like, I can either stay here and continue to be depressed and feel sorry for myself and stay in this stuck victim mentality, or I can do something about it. And I'm going to tell you, I think really what was the catapult for me is, I remember there was a very traumatic situation happening with a partner that I was in at the time, and I was very distraught. I remember being in the floor, in the fetal position, praying, asking God to stop this. Please help me. Please help me. And I kept saying, please help me get out. And I remember, not audibly, I didn't hear a voice, but in my spirit, I heard, baby girl, I cannot help you until you get up and get out. Mm-hmm. And that was it. That was it for me. It was like, stop praying, stop doing all the things, stop researching, and do something. Take massive action. I packed my things and I left and I moved in with my mom. And that was really what started my whole journey. I did 6 months of intense therapy, just weekly therapy. I mean, and it was tough. I'm going to be honest, it was tough because there were some things I didn't want to hear, because I was also part of the problem. So there's that. Let's just call it like it is. Whenever you're in a toxic relationship, it's never just one person.
That's tough to hear sometimes. And you know, it's interesting. You had a experience, because I heard a voice too that said, you need to be your own knight in shining armor and stop waiting for someone to come and save you. Like that. And that was the moment that I was like, that's it. I don't know what I'm doing. I got to do something different. I got to get other people to help me, because obviously I keep repeating this. You know, and that what you just said right there is such an important piece, because this is not blame or shame or guilt or anything like that. It's, what are the experiences that I've had that have allowed me to stay in this relationship? And it's hard. It's one thing to look at somebody else and look at their faults. That we can do. it's the looking at ourselves that's hard, but that's where the healing happens because focusing on the other person all the time is going to just keep us stuck.
That is so good. Yes, that's where the magic happens. When you can turn the mirror and look at yourself and say, okay, where I got goosebumps, where do I need to work on me? Because that's where you're taking your power back. And so that was my turning point for me. That was when I was tired of doing all the research. And that doesn't mean I don't do more research. Of course I do. The more I learn, the more I can share. But as far as I'm doing it from a perspective of and almost like an outsider looking in, this is what I'm learning about. Now, how can I help my people, my women, my ladies, whoever comes in contact with me, help them apply this in their life? And so I got my meditation certification. That was a big piece of my healing. The therapy was great, but I love therapy. I'm always a proponent of the therapy, and working with a coach and a therapist is really magical. But it can only take you so far because it's in your head. It's all learning. It's all cognitive behavioral therapy, all that kind of stuff, which is powerful. But now you got to do something like what we're just talking about. What are you going to do with that? And so working with a coach can help you get to that point where you're like, okay, now these are some applicable, things that I can do in my life, lifestyle changes, grounding, meditation. But when I got my meditation certification, that was it for me because now I feel like I did, in fact, take my power back to be able to regulate my nervous system. And regulating your nervous system is a game changer. It changes, it allows your body to rest and digest so that you are no longer in that fight or flight mode or fawn or freeze, any of those. And then your inner child, your wounds begins to feel safe enough that you can be heard and you can feel loved and you can feel safe. That meditation piece was it for me. And then I incorporated other things, the dance, somatic dance, the healing stretches, the bilateral stimulation, all of those things are just like habit stacking. You're just making yourself, it's just, making you stronger and stronger. But the meditation for me is where the magic happens for my clients.
I mean, I 100% agree. I think that that's actually a disservice that happens with therapy by itself is that, we also were holistic practitioners. So I tell all my clients to meditate. Like that's part of the deal, along with exercise and nutrition and getting enough sleep. And, because realistically, I think when you're in these relationships, we get so lost. And
Oh, so
self-care
true.
gets put so much on the back burner because we're so focused on the relationship. We're so focused on trying to make it work. We're so focused on what we've done wrong, or what are we doing wrong that, and we don't know what to do. And so I think that it's easy for us as codependent people, people pleasers, until we do the work, it's easy for us to fall back into another relationship where we're just doing the same thing of taking care of everybody else and putting ourselves, to the side again.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that is the thing. I have a PDF that I share with my clients, the very first thing. And it's all about learning to love myself because self-care is the first thing that goes. And it's not just about taking care of relationships. As moms, we do that naturally. We want to care for our kids. We want to care for the people around. It's a natural God-given, trait or whatever. And so what happens is sometimes, if that was taught in childhood, it's reinforced when you become a parent and you begin to think that that's where your value lies. And that sucks because then we want that to fulfill us instead of understanding that we are a parent, yes, but that does not define us. That's not who we truly, truly are, like at our core. And that's some really tough, like eye-opening awareness to get people, like emotional intelligence, to get people to that point. But it's not that self-sacrifice or caregiving or taking care of others is a bad thing. Absolutely not. We're called to do that as women, that we're naturally really good at it. It's whenever that seeps over into if we had any kind of dysfunctional childhood stuff that maybe we learned that performance-based love is what we have to do to get people to love us, or and then it just seeped into our relationships, and then we began to find our value and our importance in becoming that parent of that really superstar child, or whatever the case may be. It's a scary, slippery slope, and untying that, untwisting that, and you know, is what you and I do with our clients to help them understand, oh, that was kind of a wrong thinking that I need to work on over here. That's not who I am. I was a parent, but I'm not that internally. That's not what defines me or whatever. So
well, the self-worth, like I'm not worthy unless I'm doing things for others. Like that's not realistic, but it's what a lot of us have been trained is if you're not giving, then if you're putting yourself as making yourself a priority, then you're selfish. You know, like all those things that we were told, that so many of us were told, maybe not everybody, but so many of us were told that it was selfish to put ourselves first. And, you know, it's not conceited to talk good about ourselves. We're not full of ourselves for putting ourselves first. But, you know, in order for us to take care of other people, we can't give until we're empty. We're not going to work that way.
See, I think that's a toxic mindset from the church, honestly. Well, I mean, I'm going to call the church out on it.
I was going to
right?
say that, but yes, I agree with you. Cause that was my upbringing in the church was, you know, you don't matter. It's the bigger picture that matters. It's everybody else.
Do you remember that J-O-Y, Jesus, others, you? Like, no. Yeah,
yep.
Jesus is definitely important, but we're not putting others before ourselves or our own self-care. And I mean, even the pilots tell you to put the mask on your face first. And I know everybody uses that analogy, but like, get it in your head already. Like, we do have to take care of ourselves and it's not selfish. And I remember, you know, you were talking about like doing to show our self-value. I remember one of my therapists saying to me, "You're a human doing." And I was like, what? Like, that doesn't even make sense. What are you talking about? That's such a stupid thing to say. Finally, I got it. Like, yes, I was always doing to earn people's love, earn people's respect. And it made me feel like I was worth something when I was doing that. Now, I truly am a human being. Like, I tell my friends all the time, like, you either like me or you don't, because this is who I am. And I love this person. Because I'm just being, I'm enjoying life. I'm experiencing life like I'd never have before. And it's possible to get there, but there's a lot of, we have to do a lot of uprooting of that mindset that we were just talking about right there. And especially if you were raised in the church, that is, I you know, I don't want to throw too much shade on the church, but church, do better, you
yeah.
know,
Well,
like, come on.
Agreed.
Yeah.
You know, and it's interesting that, you know, all of this upbringing, you know, our parents meant to do well in those kinds
sure.
of things. You know, they did the best they could with what they had. But, you know, we're at some point, one of us has to say, whatever I've been doing, again, hasn't been working. This isn't right. I want to decide something different. And I mean, luckily, you decided to get out of that relationship because you wouldn't be here helping other people. And that, if you were part of the church, then even leaving, that is a huge wound. Feeling like we're abandoning, we're not doing our duty, we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing, our promise, we broke our promise. Like, you know, once you get married, you stayed married. That was my upbringing. And so when my ex became abusive, it felt really terrible that I was going to leave him when things were bad, even though I was getting my life destroyed. I had all this other guilt that was going along with it as well. I don't know if that was any of your experience as well.
Oh, the shame. Oh, girl. Years. It took me years to get over the shame. And I beat myself up over that. And I think that was the last part of my true, I mean, obviously we're always healing. We're always on this journey, but like the real powerful part of my healing is when I stopped shaming myself. And when I really saw God as a loving God holding me. And honestly, it's so interesting. I was a Sunday school teacher, Patch the Pirate director, children's choir leader, Sunday, I mean, I did it all. Bible study teacher, ladies, women's group, blah, blah, blah. Never missed a service, ever. I was fully in, 100% committed. But today, I feel closer to God than I've ever felt in my entire life. I can open up my Bible and I feel his presence like never before. And I don't go to church. I watch it sometimes on TV. I listen to podcasts sometimes. But God is all around me. Like I open my door and I see the lake and I'm like, oh my goodness, Lord, that's just beautiful. I hear the birds singing. I'm just saying there is the shame that was released when I finally let that go and let God heal that it was powerful, but it took me a while to get there because, you know, I couldn't even step foot in a church. I felt so much shame. Like oh gosh, everybody's judging me. And maybe they were, maybe they weren't.
Yeah. And they didn't
I
live
don't know.
they didn't step in your shoes and didn't know. I mean, I would consider I'm not religious anymore. I'm now spiritual. And my mom will try to shame me sometimes and be like, "Why aren't you going to church? Why aren't you doing that?" And I'm like, and same thing. I feel more connected than I ever did in doing all of, I mean, and same thing. I mean, I was in Sunday school teaching. I was doing all of the things as a kid, was super involved in, my early 20s also. And I right now, because and I said to my mom even more recently, I was like, I'm doing God's work every day to be able to help people heal and people to be seen. I think is a beautiful gift to be able to share. And that to me is that connection that we all have together. And of course, for my big thing, my big vision for all of this is the more people that heal, the better the world is. And isn't that a beautiful purpose to have?
Absolutely. And I always say, God is love. Period. Like, how much more do we need to explain? We don't understand God. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. The Bible's very specific about that. But we do know this: God is love. If you're not displaying that, if you're not, giving that, and you're not receiving that, we have a problem. We have a disconnect. Something's wrong. So, just to make it as simple as possible, if it does not look like love, it is not God. Now, I know that the Old Testament God is a different type of, and well, we could get into all of that, but that's a whole nother episode, sure. But the thing is, you said the abuse part for women. I would love for women to understand more than anything, abuse just isn't just physical abuse. And I'm sure you talk about this all the time on your show, but mine was more covert, was very, there was an undercurrent of manipulation. There was an undercurrent of withdrawal, holding back love, holding back affection, controlling the finances. Even was told at one point, you probably aren't saved because a Christian wouldn't do that or say that or act that way. And it made me question my faith, and that's not anyone else's place. That's not your place. You don't get to decide that for me. God and I have that discussion, not you, not any other person. I don't care if it's a man or not. It doesn't matter. No one gets to question your faith. And there, so I want the psychological part of it, which, left me so confused. And so I always was like almost questioning myself. Wait, is this me? And I was told that once, I'm not going to counseling. I'm not the one with the problem. You are. So I thought I was the, I literally did. I mean, so I went to therapy for 10 years and thought I was the problem. And of course I was part of the problem because we're human. But yeah, I really want to make sure that women understand it's not just being hit. Verbal abuse, being called names, things being thrown at you or thrown around you, being kept in your house, the keys being kept from you. If you have to answer for how much money you spend, that is control. If you're being tracked, there's so many little covert things that are considered control, which is considered abusive and can be considered and obviously unhealthy, that all of those are factors. And I think what kept me set for so long is that he never hit me. So I just kept thinking, well, I'm not being abused. I kept asking my therapist, am I being emotionally abused? And he would never answer me. I kept thinking, if he will just tell me, and which I think he probably knew this, if he would just tell me, I was going to leave the relationship. And I think he was trying to preserve the relationship, which I understand why he wanted, because he was a Christian also. And obviously, he didn't want me to divorce or whatever, didn't agree with it or whatever. And he wanted to try to work it out. But I just could, I mean, oh, I couldn't stay. I couldn't,
That,
once I saw.
but that kind of manipulation, I mean, and again, we could do a whole other show just on, religious manipulation and all that, especially women tend to be the ones that get the low end of the totem pole on that one. But, what I'd love to hear from you is, so what are some of the things that you did that really got you to a place where you are now? Like what was your focus? What are some of the maybe the steps that you took to really figure out who you were so that you could create this new life for yourself?
Well, like as I mentioned before, the meditation was a huge part of it because I did have to regulate my nervous system. I was definitely in hyper anxiety mode. I refused to take any sort of medication, so I did everything natural. So making sure I had some really good quality, I know this may seem silly, but really quality supplements. I'm totally a nerd about that. Things that would help calm my nervous system, like magnesium. I make sure that I only eat anti-inflammatory foods. I do not eat gluten. So any of those types of foods are going to actually make your nervous system even more agitated. You're going to feel like crap. So, don't eat that stuff. Stop eating it. Like, really go on a major, and I have celiac disease, so it was kind of forced upon me to stop eating certain ways, but I count it as a blessing every single day. I don't look like the same person. I don't feel like the same person. I have more energy than I've ever had. So food, obviously, supplements, meditation. I do not recommend, if you are in a state of fight or flight or survival mode, I don't recommend hardcore workouts. So what I say is walks outside in nature, yoga, healing stretches, dance, anything that is calming to the nervous system. I mean, I make sure I'm adamant about my nighttime routine. I'm a weirdo, and that's fine because this has helped heal my body. But I start really early. I mean, it takes about an hour for me to start winding down and do my whole routine of my chamomile tea, my lavender oils, my shower, my gua sha on my face, my red light therapy. I mean, you don't have to do all of these things, but obviously these are steps that have healed me. I did say the walks. The walks are so important. Sunshine. Oh my goodness. Sunshine is healing. The sun is healing. Get in the sun. Get your belly exposed to the sun. There's so much healing that happens when you just lay in that sun and let nature heal you, basically. I try to do that every single time the sun's out. I'm out. Read in nature. Don't sit in your house in front of the tele. I mean, I have a TV, but I can't tell you the last time I turned it on. I've eliminated all external types of messaging. That's another thing women can do. This is a detox thing, honestly. I do a detox 3 times a year where it's celery juice and bone broth for 3 to 5 days. I have a program that it's called the 30-day detox reset that it had meal plans and grocery list and a detox whole thing for that. I eliminate toxins in my home. No chemicals are in my homes. I do not clean with any chemicals. I use vinegar and baking soda. I mean, every little thing like this helps your healing process because any kind of toxic thought, person, energy, frequency, toxic chemical, any of that stuff that comes near you affects you. So the more that you can get out of your life in all of that holistic way, in every area of your life. And then I do a lot of journaling. I write out everything. Like, I get my system started though with asking the right questions. Why am I triggered? Nobody really wants to go down that rabbit trail, that rabbit hole, whatever. But it's really important for you to ask yourself these tough questions. Why am I so upset about something that probably shouldn't upset me that much, but I'm way more triggered than most people would get. So what's going on here? If it's just, my therapist always told you, I think I shared this with you before, but my therapist told me if you're hysterical, it's historical. So go back. When is the first time I ever felt this way? Why am I reacting this way? And then, inevitably you'll have a memory or a feeling of when you first felt this way. Write about it. See if you can see that perspective as an outsider looking in. Reparent yourself. You become the parent where you're healing that young child who was injured during that whatever, that and the meaning that you made it. Write about it. Ask yourself questions. If somebody, if you're thinking a negative thought, okay, is it true? I think Brené Brown uses this a lot. Is it true? Can I know 1,100% that it's true? Sometimes the answer might be yes. And then the next question would be, well, can I do anything about it? Like, this is just really do a deep dive into Why am I thinking this? Why am I feeling this? Why am I eating this? Why am I experiencing this? What am I doing with my life right now? Is this thing that's coming into my life bettering me or making me worse? And, you know, eliminate what's not. If it doesn't make you better, then why are you doing it? And that doesn't mean you can't enjoy life or have a glass of wine, you know, something like that. But I'm, you know, I mean, I feel like I was given a temple and I'm supposed to take care of it. And even if I'm allowing toxic people into my life, I'm not caring for it. I'm actually saying I don't care for it because I'm allowing stuff to happen to me that are not good for me.
Yeah, those discomforts that we have. I mean, it's a great opportunity to look at it and see what the lesson is to learn from it. I mean, that's where the problems arise, is the avoidance of feeling those big feelings. Instead, look at it and see what it's there to teach you. And it's actually interesting. After I got a divorce, I did not step my foot in front of the television room for a good 3 years. I did not want to watch TV. I mean, part of it was also because I really love to travel and do things, and my ex never wanted to do that. And we would just watch TV every day. And I just remember sitting there feeling my life getting sucked away from the ridiculous stuff he was watching on television. And I was like, it was such a thing after. I'm like, no more. And I didn't. I'm still not a big TV watcher. Like we said earlier, like I'd rather research and do other things where I don't have a show. Like I don't watch television regularly. You know, we do like family movie night. That's really about it for our television experience. So we're coming up to the end, and this has been a great conversation and definitely going down some rabbit holes that I didn't really, you know, didn't know we were going to go down, which is great. And I love it. So what are some things, maybe some last things you'd like to leave the audience with?
Oh, I just talked with a lady today, and here's what I would like to leave, because I feel like right now where people are in their relationships with themselves and with others is they feel like there is no hope. And what I would like to say is that's a lie. That's a lie. Either you're telling yourself, you know, if you believe in Satan, he's telling you it, whatever. It's not true. There is hope. There is light at the end of the tunnel. You just need a little help. You just need someone like me or you that helps you get out of that hole that you're in. Because I did a whole rant. It was a good preachy rant on my story on Facebook today. Just God never designed you to live in a sick mentality or in a sick body, not living your purpose. He put you on this earth for such a time as this. And he has a plan for you. He has a purpose for you. And if we say stuck in the yuckies, the ickies, the mentality, the toxic mentality, if we stay stuck there and don't do the work to get out, we will either shorten our lifespan or not be fulfilled in this life today. There's hope, and you can get out. If I can do it, anybody can do it.
Agreed. I love it. So how can people find you?
So on Instagram, I'm Healthy Human, Happy Life. On Facebook, Jamie K, JamiKay. And I have a TikTok, but I just have fun over there. But all of that stuff is linked on my Facebook and my Instagram. And then I have a website. I have a new sales that talks about a little bit more about what I do. It's called thehealthylovemethod.com. And that is proprietary to me. And I have a method that I take you to that take you through that gives you the healthy love that you want, not only for yourself, but for others.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Jamie Kay, for coming in and hanging out with us today and sharing all of your wealth of knowledge and all of your experience and helping other people to heal. I appreciate that. And of course, the same thing as Jamie said, like, I don't care who resonates with you. It doesn't matter to me who you choose as a coach, but choose someone. Because doing it by ourselves is a surefire way to keep us stuck. So realize that it's okay to ask for help. It's okay to know that we don't know everything and that change is possible, because if Jamie was able to do it, if I was able to do it, that means you're able to do it. So on that note, thank you everybody for hanging out with us again. As always, love spending time with you, and never forget, you are way stronger than you realize. See you next episode. Bye everybody.
So that's it for today's episode of Toxic Love Podcast. Head on over to iTunes or wherever you subscribe to your shows. One lucky listener every single week who subscribes and posts a review on iTunes will be entered for a chance to win the grand prize VIP drawing with Stephanie McPhail herself. Be sure to head on over to ToxicLovePodcast.com and pick up a free copy of Stephanie's Gift, and join us next time.